It looks like we've ducked a government shutdown for now, but we may be back in the same place in about 6 weeks. Rich Wilkinson is a director on the government contracting and technology team at Watkins Meegan LLC. He has some suggestions about what you should be thinking about in case the chance of a shutdown comes around again. And this is kind of like Groundhog Day, isn't it, Rich? You wake up and it seems like the same thing all over again.
And that's really has become the problem. This has become normal. I saw an article the other day that says this is the new normal for Washington. You know, we had an expectation for years that the budget would be passed by 1 October, and now the expectation is that we'll have a continuing resolution by 1 October, and it just keeps going on and on. It's very revealing what you said. We just kicked the can down the road 6 weeks, and then we're going to be here all over again.
Well, you and I talked about this issue back in April, with the last time that we went into almost shutdown mode. And we talked then about the fact that this becomes more expensive for agencies than whatever savings Congress hopes to try to gain because of what contractors have to do on their side of this to prepare to shut down and then prepare to restart. You've got some advice posted that we've linked up to at federalnewsradio.com, and it's not advice in the legal sense of the term. I want to be clear about that. But talk about the steps that you're suggesting that contractors at least be prepared for in case we have to do this all again.
You're right. It's not legal advice. It's just some good common sense financial advice from years of government contracting experience. The fact is, some contracts, when the government shuts down, can't continue. Now, there are a few contracts that will actually get a stop work order from their contracting officer. That's crystal clear. You get an order from the contracting officer, you do what it says. But what it doesn't say is all the steps you should go through, things like tracking the cost of the shutdown, tracking the cost of protecting the government's information during the shutdown period, and tracking the cost of restarting the contract when and if you get that restart order, because those things aren't free and the government has to pay for them. Unfortunately, they don't produce anything of value. They're sunk, wasted cost. So those are the kinds of things that happen in one of these shutdowns. And in our little paper, you can link to it from the WTOP website, you can see exactly the steps we recommend that people go through when they're facing a shutdown of a contract.
The first step that you recommend is exactly that. Decide which ones of your contracts will be affected by this, because there are some, I guess, that continue even in the event of a shutdown?
Sure. We actually have a little flow chart that you can trace your way through. If this is the situation, then go to the next box. If not, then shut it down. Of course, the stop work order is the number one thing. If you get one of those, you've got to shut it down. But there are some contracts where you're performing on a government location, perhaps in a government building, and your employees may show up at that building and be denied access. Obviously, that contract cannot continue performance. Effectively, that's a constructive stop work order. You would like to perform. The government hasn't told you not to, but you don't have access to the facilities necessary. In other cases, you may be performing the work in your own facilities, but you need access to government employees who are directing the efforts from day to day, and those government employees are not available. They're a victim of the shutdown. In a case like that, there may be little or nothing productive you can do on a contract. And again, you're facing one of those constructive shutdown situations.
As I looked through these to get ready to talk to you this afternoon, Rich, I thought, well, I wonder which one of these is worse. And I got to the point where they were all so bad, I couldn't parse them one way or the other.
Well, you know, none of them are good.
Yeah.
But when you get a piece of paper from the contracting officer that says do this, that's actually a good situation because the FAR contemplates that, and there are rules and regulations that are very clear about what you can and can't do and what cost you can and can't recover. The really bad situations are the ones where it's not clear. You would like to continue to perform. Perhaps you have the physical facilities to continue to perform, but you don't have access to the people or the systems. And so maybe there are a few things you could do, but you can't perform the way the statement of work or the contract's written. Unfortunately, you have nothing from the government that says do something or don't do something. You just have to use your own best judgment. The problem with that is somebody somewhere is going to second-guess you eventually.
Mm-hmm. The cynic and skeptic in me, as I looked at your flowchart, which we have linked up at federalnewsradio.com already, said this can't be this simple. Given the kind of situation that we're in a potential shutdown situation where there's little pieces flying all over the place and nothing seems cut and dried, this flowchart that you're presenting seems very cut and dried. And as I said, the cynic and skeptic in me said it can't be that simple.
You know, it really is. If you're looking at this from the point of view of a large company, yes, it is very complex. But like anything else complex, if you break it down in small enough pieces, then it becomes consumable. If I hand that flowchart to a program manager, a guy who's responsible for performance of a single contract, and I say to him, take a pen, start at the upper left-hand corner, and work your way through this flowchart, and tell me which box you end up in. He does it, or she does it. She takes a pen and works the way through the flow chart and says, well, this says I can continue working. Then keep on working. Oh, by the way, sign that and date it. Now you've got some documentation that says the process you went through to make the decision that you arrived at, put it in the file. If you do that, whether you've got 10 contracts or 100 contracts or 1,000, if you did that for every contract, and every contract manager went through that process, you'd know pretty quickly which ones of your contracts you can keep working on and which ones you've got a real problem with.